Okay, my name is Richard St-Pierre. I live in Montreal. I'm originally from Kirkland Lake, Ontario, and then Noranda, Quebec, where I used to work for the Noranda Mines until they got rid of us. I'm presently living in south-central Montreal, what we call the Centre-Sud, working-class neighborhood very close to the downtown area, and I'm a member of the International Workers Group. Well, last night, in the past couple of days, there has been a series of raids especially younger militants' houses. These raids were made solely to set out a message because none of these people, most of them were already on conditions, all of them were complying to their conditions. It was a way of getting into the next day's papers to set out a message that you guys better shut the fuck up during the Grand Prix event here. Actually, I can hear the cars from the Grand Prix just outside my apartment right now. So there was those raids early the day before last. Then there were events around the opening cocktail for the big bourgeoisie, the big capitalists, to have fun in, sexy Montreal. The day before, the first day of the Grand Prix event had been completely canceled. That's the open free event, where usually 300,000 tourists and people from Montreal visit the site and look at the cars. It's a free event, but it's a very lucrative event for the organizers because they sell all kinds of T-shirts, beer, pictures, miniature models of the cars, etc. So that must have cost them like more than a couple of million dollars in economic perturbation. It's a form of applying economic pressure on the state and the local ruling class so that they finally accept a deal with the students. So that was canceled. The next day, though, at that cocktail, the English expression is kettling. There was different operations of kettling of groups of demonstrators before they actually got to the sites, people walking on the street, etc., like arbitrary arrests. And then in the downtown area, some people were able to break a few of the police lines and actually were able to disorganize part of the festivities on the Crescent Stanley Metcalf avenues that are the usual headquarters for that kind of event, where all the bourgeoisie gets out and all the nice girls with the nice tiny bikinis are there for their consumption. And last night, again, there was people that were able to get through at certain places and disrupt activities. Right now, the Grand Prix is on. This morning, there was controls on the Jacques-Cartier Bridge coming from the north or from the south to see if people had anything that could be thrown at the event. There were massive police presences at many different strategic subway stations and on the subway docks. And finally, in each and every wagon of the Montreal subway today, which is rather substantial, in each single wagon there are two policemen to be sure that everybody keeps the peace, as they say. Across all of this, people have been beaten up, gassed, subjected to concussion grenades, which are very scary. I can guarantee you that. But that's nothing new. That's been happening now for 4 months now in Montreal and across Quebec.
Have you seen anything like this before?
Never. And I started, one of my first activities as a youth was going through the 1972 general strike of 8 days. But this is a more sustained movement and a more massive one, actually. When we walk on the streets in the working class neighborhoods of Montreal, people come out of their apartments and join us by droves. And some of the main slogans are clearly anti-capitalist. One you'll hear often is anti-capitalist. That's one of the main slogans. And you have tens and tens and tens of thousands of people chanting them. This is a real movement. It's more a social movement than a student strike, even though the core of the movement was initiated by the most radical student union. But now also we have Law 78, which attacks every decent last part of civil rights we had in this province. So that we've got civil libertarians that have joined the struggle. But many local unions have already voted the principle of going out on a general strike in solidarity with the students. But the main barrier between us and the workers and the general strike is the union bureaucracy. They chickened out. They were talking about doing a general strike, and they've just chickened out. There will not be a general strike here initiated by the unions unless some of the big locals go out on Wildcat. We're trying to do that right now. And I spoke about 2 weeks ago to a class meeting, and I was accompanied by a machinist from the Avios factory, 2,000 workers that had just been shut down by Air Canada in Montreal. And there was also a postal worker that was on strike not so long ago. And I spoke the third, and I was listening to my two comrades there, and both of them said, this is the students right now, they're the locomotives. And if we don't win that strike, if we don't support that strike, if that strike is beaten, the next people that are going to be hit are us as workers, and the bosses will make us actually, in French we say, manger nos babettes, which means essentially eat our underwear. This is the first sustained mass struggle against the austerity measures that hit Europe massively and that are starting to hit North America. The first sustained movement against the austerity measures coming out of the 2008 most recent crisis of capitalism. And so this movement is, we have to win this strike, and this strike is part of the class struggle. This strike is part of the general struggle to build another society, a better one, a society of sharing and solidarity. In my mind, a socialist society, rather than the capitalist rat race and murderous society we have. You know, sometimes in my speeches, I say a society or a system that wants to cut in education is an ignorant society. A society that wants to cut healthcare is a sick society. A society that lets people live in the street, doesn't take care of its elders, and makes people work longer before they can finally rest at the end of their days, that's an indifferent and cruel society. I call that society the fucking capitalist system. Eventually, if we win, this struggle would have been an important step in the way forward towards another society.
You mentioned the labor bureaucracy. What other role have they played other than not calling a strike?
They actually participated. They were called by Premier Charest 2 months ago to save the economy of Quebec and be responsible citizens. So they showed up at a student's demo without being invited, actually, by most of the students. And what they did was essentially a screaming match with class, saying that they were just punks. They didn't know how to negotiate. When you negotiate, you've got to give in. And they knew what they were talking about, and they should sign, okay? And that's the agreement that was torn up by the mass of the student movement. And so, actually, the strike grew stronger after that attempt of sabotage. There's no other word, sabotage by the trade unions and the big federation. Then they tried to take over the 22nd of May demonstration, and they actually gave out the itinerary of the demonstration to the cops. They asked for a permit. They took the head of the demonstration without even having really done anything to support the strike. And when they got up on Sherbrooke Street, they turned to the right with about 2,000 full-timers, and 300,000 people turned to the left and walked in another direction. And in those 300,000 people, there was obviously tens of thousands of unionized workers. But they were saying, I'm walking with the class. It's their strike. We should support them. And anyway, they're actually fighting. Our unions are not fighting. And though the unionists were pale in the face and aghast that they had lost the control of their own base. This is happening right now in North America.
Can you speak to the influence of Quebec Solidaire and the Parti Québécois?
Of course, the Parti Québécois is, you know, we're seeing some nationalist flags in the demos, besides the red flags or the red and black flags. But they're doing everything they can to recuperate it, but they're doing nothing in the polls, because Pauline Marois, which is the PQ leader, she once was the Minister of Education in 1996. And as the Minister of Education in 1996, she cut in 1996 money, $544 million to all the schools in Quebec, which is more than the Liberals are actually cutting today. So people know her. And while she was cutting that, she actually installed two bathrooms in her office that are silent bathrooms because she doesn't like the sound of flushing water. And that cost her $500,000 while she was cutting in the classes and the school programs and in the food programs. That's Pauline Marois. And Quebec Solidaire, that's another animal. I'm not a Quebec supporter, Quebec Solidaire supporter at all. Obviously, they have some very good people that are doing good work in the strike. They're a single member of parliament for Plateau Mont-Royal, Amir Kadir, was arrested in one because he was walking in one of the illegal demonstrations in Quebec City. Daughter's been arrested three times, including one in a raid, but I'm not sure what her politics are. That doesn't mean she's Quebec City down too. But I participated in a debate this week at the Cégep Maisonneuve in front of the students with the ex-leader of the huge Maoist party that we used to have here, a party of which, by the way, Gilles Duceppe used to be a member a long time ago. He's forgotten. Now Gilles Duceppe is saying his main task is get the kids back to school. And he wears a white square, not a red square. But anyway, the Quebec Solidaire, they have good people on the ground. But as a party, they have not put out a call for the general strike. Because at the same time, they don't want to do anything illegal. And actually, we're putting up neighborhood council meetings of hundreds of people across Montreal right now. And the one last week in the East End, quartier of Hochelaga-Maisonneuve, which is neighbor to me, there one worker got up and he says, I'm a Quebec Solidaire militant, but I can't understand how my own organization has not called for a general strike, et cetera, et cetera. There'd be lots to say, but they're a reformist party, I'd say less social democrat, that's centered by all the Trotskyist and so-called communist groups or parties as a left wing. But the left wing is not the tail wagging the dog. It's the bureaucrats of Quebec Solidaire that are wagging the radical left tail. So we're not part of that. We do work on the ground. We do factory redistribution. We do subway distribution. We launch some of those neighborhood councils. We poster as much as we can. We do door-to-door work without having any illusions in the electoral process. Inside the specific student organization called CLASS, they have one congress a week right now until the end of the strike. There's always tensions inside of a struggle. It's quite possible that maybe half the delegates are Quebec Solidaire sympathizers or supporters, but there's not that much tension, actually. The whole leadership team has been renewed last week. The two main spokespersons have been maintained. I can't go much more on the internals of that one, but a third spokesman, more associated to the radical wing of the movement, has been added on. The question is for them right now, we're broke. Money needs to be sent to CLASS. Lots of money has been coming in from small locals, not the leadership, but small locals across Ontario. I know one Toronto woman so far, she's been able to collect $85,000 just by her own initiatives going around. But more money is needed. Some people are here from the IWW in Edmonton, and they went to the Congress last week. And when they came back, that was in the industrial town of Valleyfield to the west of Montreal, which is a solid strike ground, by the way. That used to be the old petrochemical plant there. There's still many left. When they came back, I asked them, what was your general impression of the discussions at the Congress? And the people from Edmonton, I was expecting something on the tone, the substance, but even the form of the discussions, because I'm told the discussions are very serious here and respectful. But the first thing they told me as an impression was not about that. They said, you know what, Richard, they're so young, but everybody's in there has bruises to the face, crutches, canes, cast. Everybody you see there as the 200 base delegates that are replaced regularly have been severely hurt at some point or another or many times by rubber bullets, batons, billy clubs, pepper spray, gas, hit by a grenade fragment, etc., etc. So I think in that kind of a context, right now it's not a Québec solidaire versus the radical things in terms of tactics. That might come up later if Charest declares election. At that point, I think there might be some tension. But for now, I think all it's a class struggle. Eh? In the class struggle, everybody that contributes to the class struggle is a comrade.
You mentioned the Maoists. I was wondering if the organized Maoists had any presence in the movement.
They used to have a much larger presence. About 2 years ago, they decided to undeploy from class. They took away their local delegates to do like more the working class or street type of work, which is one of the things they do almost every 2-3 years. They have some kind of a new gimmick. But they paid dearly for that. They lost a few good cells in Montreal, but also in the regions around Montreal. In the North Montreal, they lost a complete cell, which were student leaders, because of that decision, but also because of other organizational methods that are too top-down. We know them well. In demonstrations, we actually are able present a common front when there's police attacks. But they have been able to regain members in this strike. They actually might have reconstituted their losses in this strike.
How about CLAC? Does CLAC have any presence in the strike?
CLAC is, there's very good people in CLAC, but that, for us, CLAC is the Concordia crowd. It's the Jaggy Singh. Of course, left wing, but identity politics that are more frequent across English North America than we are. But they were the ones hurt at the cocktail event. And in any situation where they're hurt, we're going to help them, we're going to support them, and we'll be in solidarity with them.
Can you speak a bit to the relationship between Francophone and Anglophone
militants? Well, CLAC is one place where you have something of a bridge like that. But there are differences in terms of even eating attitudes. Anglo-leftists will often be much more, for example, vegan or vegetarian. The Francophones will probably be like more ordinary, working-class type oriented. And there's also, I think, more base workers on the Francophone side and more university types on the Anglophone side. There's been progress made. This strike helps also. And I was very, very moved that on the 22nd of March demo, they're all on the 22nd, eh? March, April, May, and then next in June here, to see a very, very, a huge, actually, McGill student contingent. Must have been by maybe 10,000 or over. And we hadn't seen that in such a long time. Also, like I think I might have told you, this is my home is, my co-op here is like a revolutionary motel right now. We're getting lots and lots of people from Florida, New York, Toronto, lots and lots from Toronto, but also Alberta, Vancouver, Seattle, that have stayed here and that participate in the movement and that we bring to the neighbors' councils where we translate their interventions. And it's been a huge help in smashing some of the nationalism that's still around, actually saying that We're fighting the French Canadian bourgeoisie here, and it's English Canadian workers that are helping us in this struggle. In a very practical way, this is perhaps one of the best games so far. It's not like it used to be. It used to be horrible. If in the 1990s, if you were not a nationalist, you could be called a thesis or a mounted spy or whatever in the movement. You could get hit. People would not speak to you anymore. And now, in the radical left anyway, the main trend is internationalism. And that's great. I like that.
Can you talk about the impact you think the strike's going to have in the long run?
Well, if it's won, it's going to be a tremendous psychological boost. Also, I know how I can answer that question. I'll quote freely from an editorial from Mario Roy, which is one of perhaps the most right-wing editorialists of La Presse, which is the main bourgeois paper in Montreal. And he speaks for Power Corporation. He speaks for the Desmarais family here, which is the main bourgeois family, I think, in Quebec. And the title of the editorial was Les Séquelles, what follows in English, in bad English. And he's saying, listen, Mr. Charest, okay, we know who's run the strike now, and it's not you. So he's saying you should probably try and stop this as soon as we can, because it's already cost us much more than was going to save us. But also, what's more dangerous, we have to stop this now, because every time the government is going to try and put forward some kind of a counter-reform or measure, the streets will rise, and it will be the end of democracy. That's the voice of the ruling class, or at least the voice of a part, important fraction of the ruling class. I think right now our rulers are probably a bit split over what is to be done, which shows the importance and the reality. I'd use an expression from a Toronto comrade, John Clark from OCAP. The unprecedented dimension of this mass movement. I hope that was clear.
That's clear. What's next once this movement
Nobody knows.
Simmers down? No one knows.
I've been wrong since the beginning of the strike. I had told the students I knew back at the beginning that they were launching it too quickly because they would tire out and then the right-wing unions would come in and sign with Charest. Didn't happen. Then I must have said about 10 different weeks, this is the crucial week. This is when the strike is won or lost. And I was wrong every time. As a Marxist, we're students of the perspective. We can put out general perspectives, the necessity of the struggle, the need to extend the struggle, the need to link out with the working class, the need to stay autonomous, the need to not submit to the siren calls of the social democracy and the other bureaucrats, stuff like that. But right now, the only perspective different I can give is we have to continue this fight to the end. We cannot lose this strike.
What can those of us who are living outside of Montreal and Quebec do to support the strike?
Well, if people want to come and visit us, like I said, there's busloads coming in from Toronto. And if people don't have money, we put them up in our co-ops, in our housing co-ops. All kinds of co-ops around this sector in South Central are helping out. If they don't have money to eat, we try and get them. We make them eat. If they can contribute, that's fine too, because I can tell you my own funds have been depleted severely. We're all broke here right now. In this strike, if you are in a local union, an association, some kind of a club, whatever, a circle, and you can vote money, vote money, but don't vote it to the three federations. Send it to CLAS, the radical one, because the two other ones are government-funded. So they don't need working class money. I can tell you, for example, the Latin American workers, that circle that just came to Montreal last night, they came in with $300 cash. That might not seem much, but all with everything going on, every cent is precious. I know workers on the east end of Canada are getting screwed too. I know the new federal law is going to hurt a lot of people on unemployment insurance over there, temporary workers, seasonal workers. The best thing you can do, I was so wrong in what I just said before, is start the struggle in your own part of the world and let us link up. And the old slogan, workers of all lands, has never been as actual as today.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you for your time. It's an honor to speak.